Good to see Miss Carol Cape with us in the service this morning. Miss Carrie and Peyton, and late Brother Berman Jr. was my pastor, starting out at Floyd Road for a number of years, and he would normally preach on Monday Night Jubilee here. And so, what a tremendous blessing having y'all with us in the service this morning. All right, well, Brother Harold, are you pointing at me? Amen. Come on, Brother Snyder. Take your time.
Appreciate that. I want to say, first of all, thank you to the pastor for letting me be here. I do appreciate it. To all of you that wrote cards and notes for my being here today, for our little fun time we had here about 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago, whatever it was, thank you for your kindness. One of the things that I always thought and was proudest of is that this church always was sensitive to other people as far as contacting them about cards, yeah. Writing to them. Am I not on? There's too much preacher to look around. I can't. Am I on now? Okay, let's start over. Is this mine? Yeah. Y'all all know my former friend, Alan. You know. I had something great to say. I just don't remember what it was. And, one of the nice things about being nearly 80 is that I have had to change it a little bit. It used to be 70, but I am past 70. Nobody expects you to remember anything. That's the neat thing about it. Don't tell him. He ain't got to remember. You know. But I was warmed. I was warmed, Brother Richard, by that warm introduction of your good friend. What's his name? That was wonderful. But anyway, thank you for coming. Appreciate the group coming. I have a question for you. Oh, of course, I wanted to also very quickly acknowledge Miss Jan Frady. We've been in this walk for a long time. Jan, I appreciate you coming and being with us today. And it just means a lot. It's good to have Reverend Ray, and Miss Pat Vaughn with us. She used to be our mayor. And I appreciate you being with us today. I love him. I think he's a man of great wisdom. I enjoy talking with him. So anyway, I'm going to try to do this. And I thank my mother for being here. And it's good to see my two pagan sisters. You know, and so I'm glad that we're here. Johnny and Pat, good to see you. And for those of you that I will have offended by not mentioning you, please forgive me. I didn't mean to. Pray just a minute. Father, I just want to speak to you for a second. Ask for your hand and your help. I pray that as I try to share these thoughts with the people that I love so dearly, I pray that you would use me as your vessel and fill me with the Holy Spirit to be able to share that which I believe you've laid on my heart. And Father, having been a vessel surrendered to you, then I pray you'd use me as a messenger to those who will hear. And I pray that we don't try to do anything other than point people to Christ. Be with us through this time. Thank you for the way that you've watched over some personal issues. Thank you for the way you've blessed. Thank you for the good number that's here today. But Father, I pray your Holy Spirit will fill us, use us. But God, help us. Help us that when we leave here today, we can be different people than entered the door. Help us to take from this place a new resolve and commitment and dedication to walk with you and to live for you, to be obedient to you. And I pray that in everything we do, your Holy Spirit will be with us. Guide us through this time. In the strong name of our Savior, we pray. Amen. I appreciate being able to open the Jubilee. I remember a long time ago, Miss Joy, when church called me and asked me to be the pastor in 94. We were going up to Marion, Virginia. Is anybody here that remembers that? Anybody that went? Yeah, a lot of us. We went up to Marion, Virginia, where he was pastoring, and that's where I got my introduction to what a Jubilee was. And we went up there 2 or 3 years and sang, and then we went up later and worked with the choir. It was just an amazing time. Brother T.D. started talking to me. He said, why don't you start one? Why don't you have a Jubilee? There's not one going on in your area. And I said, I don't know, Brother T.D. That just looks like a bigger thing that I can handle. And he said, it is. It is. That's why you're going to need the Lord's hand and the Lord's presence and the Lord's touch. But I'm telling you, if you do it, God will bless it. Amen. So I think 95 or 6, whenever it was that we started, if anybody knows, let us know. But I think we've missed 2 years for COVID, and that would make this the 26th Jubilee in the 28th year. But God bless. And I was sitting there when the pastor was talking about it, and I remembered Brother T.D. coming in here and preaching, and I remember the other guys that came in, Brother Berman. He preached every Monday night of every Jubilee that I had as long as he could possibly do it. He always, I wouldn't have opened without. And we'll be here this week. But I remember services where, Alan, you remember where people were saved. This altar was full. I don't know, one night we had 8 or 10 that got saved, and people were all over the place praying, and God's hand was here. It wasn't anything I did. It wasn't anything T.D. Burgess did. It was a group of people who decided, let's see if we can invite the Holy Spirit to have freedom in our fellowship, and let us do what God has called us to do. And when he fills us, what in the world would he fill us for? So we can sit there and splash around? Absolutely not. He fills us to be used. He fills us to be a part. Somebody says, well, I don't feel the Holy Spirit. Well, what are you doing to fill it? And I don't mean works. I mean putting yourself in a position that you can sense God working in your life, and you can see God helping you in those moments. And here's my two questions. I got two questions for you. Number one, when the Holy Spirit nudges you in a service, how do you know it's Him? And number two, what causes you to respond or not respond? If God's all powerful, and if God can do anything, and if God wants to use you, and we talk about how we love Him, we talk about doing this and doing that for God, we've spoken this morning about the goodness of God and how He has intervened in the times of our life when we struggled. And God does that. And He does that beautifully. He does that willingly. Why? Because He loves you and He cares about what you go through. We don't have a high priest who's not touched by the things that bother us. Whatever touches you, touches him. And we have an intercessor sitting beside him up there saying, he's mine, they're ours. And when we say, God, will you invade this place, will you come in here and allow God, the Holy Spirit, to get free in your life? And when you sit there and God speaks to your heart, are you willing to be moved more than having a cold chill or getting some little good feeling about a song that's been sung? Are you willing, when you hear somebody say, will you obey God, what goes on in your life? What goes on in your heart? What goes on when God speaks to you at an invitation time? What goes on if some people move, some people don't? What causes them to move? What keeps people from moving? I'm not talking about moving and coming to the altar for the sake of coming to the altar. I'm not talking about you coming so we can be impressed by the number of people that come. I'll tell you what I am wanting to talk to you about, and that is when God begins to move. What causes you to sit there? You say, well, I don't have to come to the altar. Well, of course you don't. I can worship at home. Of course you can. You don't, but you could. You can. You know why people come to the altar? You ever thought about that? You ever thought about why people come to the altar? We can get right in our pew. Of course you can. Of course you can. What's the big deal about coming down here and kneeling down? Number one thing I want you to understand. When you are willing to take that first step, and you step out, you've just made a decision to encounter God. You've just made, when you take that, you're standing there, and something inside of you says, go down there. And you turn and you take that first step. You have made the decision to engage God in your life. Secondly, and maybe as importantly, that when you come down here, you have broken the thing that people fear the most, and that is, what will people think? When you come walking down this aisle, you've just announced, I don't care what anybody says. If I get a chance to encounter God, if I can get a chance to talk with Him, that's what I'm interested in. And I may not do that again. Yeah, baby. Turn with me to Genesis 24, first book of the Bible. I don't have much time, so I don't really know what that means, but just stay with me. Whenever you have to leave, go ahead. I hope you can stay. I'll do my best not to make you feel like you've wasted your time here today. Don't have time to read it, just a mere 67 verses. But I would encourage you, sit down sometime and read it. Don't blow through it. Read Genesis 24. Because in chapter 21, Isaac is born. Chapter 22, he becomes the subject of the greatest test Abraham would have faced. That's the offering of him on the sacrifice. Chapter 23, his mother dies. In chapter 24, it is one of the most beautiful pictures of what God will do in your life and what God wants to do with you. In Genesis 24, verse number 1, hear the word of the Lord when he says, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. If you look back to Genesis 15:2, you'll find out the name of this servant is Eliezer. And he comes up, and Abraham tells Eliezer, put your hand under my thigh. Now, that's very awkward in our culture, but for them, they went to the place of strength, and that'd be your thighs. And he said, you put your hand under here, which says, with everything that is in you, you will fulfill this commitment. You will fulfill it. You take the power. He says, I want you to do this for me. And what he does, I just have to kind of talk through this and walk with it as quickly as I can. But what he does, he says, he put his hand on his thigh and he says, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and you'll take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son unto the land from which thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son hither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and swore unto him concerning that matter. And he swore unto him concerning that matter. But as you go through here, what did he swear? He said, I want you to go back to our homeland, some 450, maybe 500 miles. He said, I want you to go back to our homeland, and I want you to find a wife for my son Isaac. Now, this is so full of pictures as you go through this chapter. Number one, I want you to look at what happens here in this first part about the purpose of the Father. Now, this is a great picture of what God the Holy Spirit does in the lives of people. God the Father sends the Holy Spirit. He sends him down here. What are we called? We are called the what of Christ. We're called the bride of Christ. And the Holy Spirit comes down. And that Holy Spirit will come to where you're sitting. It'll go into the workplace one day when you're working. Have you ever just been going on about your business? You come sit in a church, you hear singing and music or a class and you hear teaching. Or you're out somewhere, you're reading a Bible during your devotions. Have you ever had some little nudge in your heart that you're surprised by, that you hadn't anticipated it? You weren't trying to work it up, but all of a sudden this Holy Spirit invades where you are at. He steps into the middle of your life and he says, I want you to do something for me. What causes that? How do you know that it's God? And why in the world are we so eager to push back against God? This whole issue in this chapter talks about this, and he goes and he says, and you'll just have to read it. He says that we go down through, he says, okay, when I go, and on his journey, the Holy Spirit is, I mean, we talk about him, Eliezer, he's representing the Spirit. As he goes down, he says, I'm going to go down to this well, and he said, Lord, if you'll let me, kind of a fleece, if you will let me see that there is a woman here who offers me to drink, who gives me to drink. And they would normally do that. They'd be courteous in that land. They would do that. If somebody came up and asked for a drink, you know, the woman at the well, and Jesus spoke to her. He came up and he said, if you can help me, let this be the woman who not only will give me to drink, but will also give water to my 10 camels. The Bible said Abraham gave him 10 camels to go. My dad preached, I think, one of his best messages called The Camels of Grace. I don't know if anybody's got a copy of that. I'll pay you for it if you do. I can't find it. But he preached about these camels and how that these camels transported Rebecca to the land where she was waiting, where the son was waiting for her. And during that whole journey, all that way, these camels were providing. And this lady says, I will give your camel something to drink. Now, I didn't know how much it is. I've read several things. But a camel can drink from 10 to 25 gallons of water. Now, if she took this, and the Bible says she poured it in the trough, if she did that for 10 camels, and the typical jar she had was 3 gallons, how many trips does she have to make? If it's 10 gallons, there's 100 right there. 100 trips. When God begins to speak and when God intervenes in your life, listen to me, listen, and you hear this. If you're always seeking for the least you can do with God and still get by, there's something wrong in your walk. I'm sorry. There's something wrong in your walk. You never have time for God. You never have a desire for God. You know, you never feel drawn to the Word of God. You never pray unless there's a crisis. He's like a 911. Right. But this Holy Spirit comes up while she, Eliezer comes up while she's there. But remember, this was initiated by whom? The Father. Abraham. He is the one that sent the Holy Spirit to get a bride for his son. Does that sound anything at all like John 3:16? When he said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And here's our part, that whosoever believeth in him. She made this journey simply because she believed what that servant said. She had no physical evidence. She had never seen Isaac. She had never seen the land. She had never been over to Canaan. All she understood was, he said, you ought to see what my master's son has. Everything has been turned over to him. That's what the New Testament says, that everything was to be turned over to Jesus, that he will be the ruler, he will be the prince, he'll be the king. But listen to me. When God speaks to your heart, the thing is, you don't seek to do the least you can do. It's like, I used to hear it so much, it would drive me nuts. They didn't use these words, but this was the sentiment. Pastor, how close to the world do you think I can live and God not get me? How close can I live to the world and God not get me? I said, I don't know. Sounds like you're already there to me. She said, yeah, I'll give you the water and I'll do more. There's something about it. The Holy Spirit comes running to her. The Father initiated it. God is the one that came up with a plan of salvation. He wanted us to have it. He initiated it. He sends that messenger into your life, which is the Holy Spirit. Think back to the moment, to the time, to the night, to the day, to the evening, whatever it was, wherever you were. Think about when the Holy Spirit came to you for the first time and you began to understand God was really, truly, and fully dealing with you. I don't mean you came in here and got excited by everybody else's excitement. I don't mean you get excited or cry because you see somebody crying. You may be empathetic. I'm talking about when God begins to touch your heart. When something is different. When something is different. I've said it before, so I won't go into the great detail. But I remember as a young boy sitting back where Larry is. And I remember the Holy Spirit began to deal with it. And I was singing at invitation time. And I had done like most of our guys had done. We had gone to the altar, been saved about 25, 30 times. You know, we'd go to the altar every time there was something going on. If I thought my dad was looking at me and everybody around me was talking and they were leading me astray, you know, I'd say, go to the altar. You go. I'll go. You want to go? I'll go. Come on, let's all go. And we'd all come and we'd kneel over there and we'd always pray till Brother Marler got through because he was the loudest one. We just waited on him. And we got up. There was not one stinking thing different in my life when I left. Well, let me back up. I did decide I'd start reading my Bible, so I read a couple of chapters that night. And I pretty much got over that. And God was my fail-safe for trouble. God was where I turned when I needed things in my life changed. And my prayers seemed to be mostly, God, change this, fix this, or change them. God, help those people who are irritating me. Kill them if you have to. And the prayer was always about, God, will you fix this? And what most of our praying would boil down to is this. God, please make my life easier. How many times have you knelt and said, God, please use me for something. Let me be. Let me do something. Not to win your favor, but to show my love, my appreciation for what you've done. So that when the Holy Spirit comes, and the Holy Spirit came up to her. But here's what he said. When the witness of the Holy Spirit came, not only had the Father initiated, but then the Holy Spirit comes and it says this, and he ran to her. There's a sense of urgency. You need to be really, really careful about ignoring what God is saying to you. When God speaks to you, don't be glad when that conviction leaves. The worst thing in the world you can do is sit in the house of God and have things in your life that are not pleasing to God, and you don't feel one thing, one bit of drawing to get right with God. You're in deeper trouble than you might think. I'm going to tell you, you think, well, I don't have any conviction. I wouldn't celebrate that if I had sin in my life. I wouldn't celebrate the fact that you don't sense God working in your heart anymore. That you can just live like you want to. You have this ambivalence about the presence of God. This ambivalence about the Holy Spirit. But we're looking at a mission. And then he calls us. I'm not going to worry about that outline. But let me tell you what we're going to do. It's like, yeah, boy. When that Holy Spirit comes and he speaks and he nudges you, Don. Because you sit here and you hear all that's going on. You hear all that's going on. And you go, uh-huh. And you hear the preacher, you go, yeah, okay, that's not bad. Okay, yeah, I go along with that. That's all right. But something is said, one statement. And when that preacher says it, something goes, in your spirit, and you go, oh. You don't audibly express it. But something about what he said, the Holy Spirit used to nudge your heart. And when he's doing that, that's him calling you to fellowship. Conviction is to the spirit what a fever is to the body. When you have a fever, something is wrong in your body. There is a war going on. Those red and white corpuscles are having it out. And all kinds of stuff is going on in your life, in your body. When conviction comes, it says something's wrong in your spirit. And you've got the flesh. The Bible says you have the flesh and you have the spirit and you're just battling. He said they're going to always battle. Then he said, which one wins? Whichever one you choose to win will win. And the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. But here's what he said. He said, do you have room for me in your house? And the Holy Spirit, when Matthew and Luke, what did it say about when they came to the place, the lodge, the inn? There was no room for him. Our lives are so full of everything else. Wouldn't it be great? Let me ask you something. If I came to you and I took your Bible from you, I came up here and I laid it down, and then I said, give me your phone. And some of you would. And you give me your phone, and I took all your phones and I put them down here. Which would you feel worse about not having? Which would bother you the most that you don't have right now? The phone, right? I went in one time, I was teaching a young people's class. We were doing a thing on salvation. And when they had a basket, when they came in, I thought, let's do this thing like old Tombstone. You know, put your guns in here. But I didn't know it was half of them were packing. But I said, put your phones in here. Put your phones in here. And I put the phones off on the side. I want to tell you, it looked like every one of them had a rash. I've never seen such moving and wiggling, you know, because they're so connected to that. Which are you more troubled at? The absence of the Holy Spirit in your life. I'm talking about, now, if you're saved, he's there. I'm not talking about him leaving you. I'm talking about your sense of understanding of his presence. We talk about the Holy Spirit showed up. Well, if you're a believer, when you came, he showed up. But the point is this. There are times that you become more aware of his presence. You can have your kids in your house. You can have somebody in your house. And if you're in the other room, you know, whatever they're doing, you're not aware. You know, they can do it. You're not aware of them. But if you come in, when they walk in that room, now you are aware. He says, trust not in your own understanding, didn't he? He said, look to me. And then he said this, in all your ways, what did he say? Acknowledge me. What in the world does he mean? Acknowledge me. Come on in, Pat. You're bothering me. In all your ways, acknowledge. What does it mean to acknowledge somebody? If I walk past Larry and I go by here and I say, hey, Larry, and he just kind of sits there like this and he just ignores me, or I can walk by and say, sorry, I can walk by and say to him, hey, Larry, and he says, hey, man, how you doing? To acknowledge means I recognize who that is and I want to engage them in whatever is going on in my life. Being saved is wonderful. Being a disciple is better. But here's what he said. Here's what he said. And then we'll close. My dad said, if you say that, you can get about 10 or 15 minutes. They go to Rebecca's house. And Laban comes in, her brother. And the gifts are bestowed by the servant. Now, think about that in our lives. The gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. The fruit of the Spirit. What is that? Love, joy, peace, meekness, gentleness. You know, what is it Joe says? You know that thing. So all that we do, he said this. He told about the Son. He told what the mission of the Father was. And they tried to get him to eat. He said, no, not till my work is done. But he said this, and this is my question. The family asked Rebecca, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. When the Holy Spirit, here she packs up. Then the family says, well, you know, they were all excited. Then the next day they said, you know what? Wait a minute. Let her stay here a while. At least 10 days. And their servant said, don't hinder me. Don't hinder me. I've come for a purpose. I found whom I came after. And I want you to understand this lady is going with me and we're going now. You will discover this, sadly. You will discover this in your life. A lot of times the people who provide the greatest hindrance to you are your family. Not because they don't love you, but because they love you. But they don't understand. If God tells you to go do something, they're saying, well, you don't need to do that. That's too far. You don't need to do this. You're not well. They're saying what they think is for your benefit, and that's good. But your heart is, I want to do what's a benefit to the Lord. I want to do something that there's no question that I love him. And if he says, will you go with me? Will you go? If the Holy Spirit comes, and during this week of meetings, this entire week, you've got Brother Sammy, and I'll tell you, Sammy will preach, and he can, and he did a marvelous job at his dad's funeral. But I'm going to tell you this. Tonight he'll ask you one way or another, will you go with this man? When you find out, when the Holy Spirit, when the servant comes and nudges your heart a little bit, we call it conviction. That's where the Holy Spirit says, hey, you know better. But to resist him over and over and over again builds a hardness in your heart. It begins to build a shell. And the next time you resist, and then pretty soon it is not difficult at all not to do what God said. Dude, you're busy. You got stuff to do. I want to be with my family. Well, I want to do this. And I want to do that. What has God given you? when that Holy Spirit comes this week and He speaks to your heart, will you just simply make yourself available to God? That's all. Don't make Him a bunch of promises, because you're not going to keep them. And that just adds to your guilt. I'm going to read 10 chapters a night. And you do it for 3 nights. And you don't do it. And then God gives you, you get convicted. And you go and pray. Say, God, I'm so sorry. I'll read 20. My soul, you didn't read 10. What do you mean going to read 20? You didn't even read the 10. God does not barter. He's not going to barter with you. Your promises mean nothing. Hey, have you noticed this? The promises that we make to God, have you ever noticed those promises are the things that we should have already been doing? God, if you'll do this, I'll start praying more with my soul. You need to be praying anyway. The Bible says pray without ceasing. God, if you'll do this, I'll read my Bible. He's already told you to study. God, if you do this, I'll even witness to a couple of people that don't know me so I won't be embarrassed. He's already told you to share the word. God, if you'll do this, I'll love my family more. We ought to already be loving your family. Promise Him something you've never promised Him before. How about that? It won't affect anything. Your promises mean nothing. Let me ask you this. When you hear us preachers talk, we load you up with so much stuff, and you hear us yell at you, and you hear us talk to you, and we're doing this and we're doing that. And you don't need everything we say. I hope to the Lord you don't need everything we say. But that one sentence, that one statement that God's kind of nudged you on when the preacher said it, that is why you were brought here today. That. Not all your excuses. I dare you. I'm from Tacoa. We say I double dog dare. That means you're going to get it. I have no idea where that came from. But if you are able and you are willing, without promises, to join me down here and just say, God, I will go with that man. I was studying last night and going over everything, and God just moved into me. Just moved into my study. And I know this sounds crazy, but honestly, I had the sense. I thought Marcia had walked in because I turned and looked. I thought somebody, I'm serious with you now. I sensed something in my life. I didn't know what to do. I'd been talking about, will you go? And I said, God, if I know my heart, I'll go. He says, I'm going to give you these camels. It's going to bring you through the journey. All you have to do is believe the servant. Believe about the son. That I've got him, the bridegroom, waiting. I was so overcome by his presence. I just started crying. Glenda, I didn't know what else to do. I was just sitting there and started crying. So I got up and I walked and I found Marcia, and she said, I've just been praying for you. I don't know. My heart was that I could deliver it to you the way God gave it to me. I am 100% sure I did not accomplish that. But here's what I'm asking you. God speaks to your heart. Are you courageous enough to trust God? Are you bold enough when you take that step and you step out of that aisle and you start moving all the way down? The decision was made when you stepped all the way down. You're just coming to have a talk with God. Can you talk to Him in your seat? Absolutely you can. But there's something freeing. There's something freeing about coming to the altar. Because it says, I am not going to be bound by what people think. It is a public testimony of your desire to walk with God. You can't beat that. Is anybody here? Anybody here seen His power? Amen. Yes, we have. He rode on 450 miles over 3 months probably, riding those camels. And then it says one day, around verse 62, 63, if it's not there, it'd be a good place for it. But right in there, He said that He came, she saw. So she looked, she saw a man walking in the field. What do you remember what it said He was doing? He was out there meditating. He was thinking. He had to be thinking about the bride because enough time had passed. It was time for her to be there. And He's standing there. And she sees Him. You know what it says she did? Bible says she lighted off the camel. Off the camel. That doesn't mean, that's not an endorsement of smoking when you say camel. She lighted off the camel. She covered herself because that was Him. That's the one I heard about. That's the one I believed stories about. That's the one I'm longing for. Do you ever, 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 do you ever have a longing to connect with God in your Christian life? Do you ever? Are you satisfied to sit here and wait and see how long we're going to keep you? Or can you get lost in the encounter with the Holy Spirit when He speaks to you? It is one of the most thrilling things in the world when you can say you've actually had a conversation with God. The fact that He would come and talk to that little 16-year-old boy, that made no sense to me. I'd heard my dad preach 9,000 sermons. I thought he was a good preacher. I thought he was loud and I thought he was long. I got both. But Calvary, you've heard it, so forgive me. But something was different that day. We sang "Just As I Am" every single service. Either that or "Have Thine Own Way." That was it for invitation. You know why? I did that for years. You know why? I didn't want people thinking about the words of a song. I want them just to be quiet and listen. Let God deal with them. Don't give them a distraction. And that day, "Just As I Am." And when I said "Just As I Am" without one plea, I understood it then. I understood it then. Without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me. I understood that. I know what it is to stand before a judge and make a plea for a client. He should be getting out a couple more years. But I know what it is to stand there and present to the judge, this is why he needs to be free. This is why he's not guilty. How would you like to have an advocate like Jesus Christ, he says in Timothy, how would you like to have an advocate who is the son of the judge and he's never lost a case? And he'll plead for you. Father, we love you. I really, truly love you. Father, I didn't do that outline because I felt like you had something else in me. I felt like the tone of the service moved a different way. But I pray right now that that sweet Holy Spirit would move in this place. So how will I know? You will know. How do you know you love your wife? You can't explain that to where anybody could understand it. You just know. There'll be something different. You'll be touched a little differently. Something that you thought was buried will come to your mind. Something you said and shouldn't have, or something that you should have said and didn't. A deed that you did and shouldn't have, or a deed that you should have done and didn't. Those things will come, and it'll come to your mind, and you'll catch yourself thinking, where in the world do those things come from? Where'd that come from? Where do you think it came from? And we ask you to do all kinds of stuff. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to think of one thing. One thing that you can do in your life that will help advance the kingdom. Think of one thing you can do in this church to help this church. One thing, just one. Don't think of 10,000. And I don't mean think of something that Justin can do. I'm talking about something you can do. You have talents. God's given you a spiritual gift. You have the ability. You may not have the desire, but you've got the ability. You may not have the availability, but you've got what God intended you to have if indeed you are a believer. One thing to help this church. One, just one. And I'm willing to bet, I'll bet David Henderson's house on the fact that God is speaking to you. You know something. What's that thing you should have done and you haven't? Who's the person you should have gone to and didn't? This is not a time to beat people up. That's not what we're doing. What I'm saying is that when he said, will you go? When they said, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. She walked away from all of the possessions that she had. She walked away from her family. She walked away with pride. She gave up and she went. What if he had lied to her? What if he had lied to her? She went believing. And then she saw him. And she said, that's him. That's the one. That's the one I heard about. That's the one I believe in. That's the one I've been looking for. And he comes out, and it says he started walking. She jumped off the camel. She started going to him. Does that sound anything at all to you? When he left his place, she left where she was riding those camels. She didn't need those camels anymore. They had served their purpose. That grace that carried her through all that tough journey. The journey meant nothing anymore. All the trials and the struggles, that meant nothing anymore. And she sees him and he's coming. Does that sound anything at all like that he, Jesus Christ, the Lord himself, will return. He'll come and get us himself. Where he's going to meet us. He's going to meet us in the air. He's leaving his place. We're leaving ours. He has prepared a place for us, and he is preparing us for that place. Our mortal bodies could never withstand what heaven has. Our bodies couldn't handle the goodness and the glory that is awaiting us when we get there. He has to give us that glorified body. And when he does, and we arise with him, and we meet him in the air, and then we go and we stay with him until we come back, and he sets up his kingdom. That's the Son. He has a little bit of power. Is there anybody that say, preacher, will you just pray for me? I've had opportunities, and he said, will you go? And I didn't go. I had 100 excuses. You know, some of them were good. Anybody? I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to trick you. I don't do that. I'm going to finish the prayer. Anybody say, I've missed opportunities to do something for God. And with his help, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And with his help, if I feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to obey him this week. I'm going to listen for God to speak to me. I am ready for my life to be touched by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'll believe what he said. I'll walk the journey until that journey no longer is a bother to us. Paul said that when we get there, the things that we've been through won't be worth discussing. When we see the glory that will be revealed in us. Real quick, anybody else? Now here's the most important question. Is anybody here? Thank you. Most important question is this. Maybe you've heard the Holy Spirit. Maybe he's nudged you, but you've never placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe today, I don't know your heart, maybe today he's saying, it's time. This is the day. The Holy Spirit has run to me and he has said, will you go with this man? Will you go with him? Why in the world, knowing what is available to us, why in the world would we knowingly choose not to accept it? What in the world is more important to you than eternal life? Those that raise your hand, I'm going to ask you and invite you, will you come down here and let's have a word of prayer? Don't make God a bunch of promises. Just come down here and say, God, as you speak to me, I want to be obedient to what you say. I want to be listening for the word of God. I want the Holy Spirit to move in my life. If you're willing to do that, and I'm not just trying to do people to get to the altar, but maybe you'll want to come join these that are here and just call out to God and say, God, without making promises, I just want to say, if you call me, if you nudge me, give me the power, the strength, and the desire to walk with you. Get up right now. Come on. You raised your hand. You did it for a reason. You didn't have to. I appreciate the integrity you show. Take that step. Come on. Who else? Just take the step. Would you stand quietly, please? Take the step. Enjoy what God has. Be no longer bound by what people think. Don't be bound anymore by the desires of the world that continually wrestle your affections away from God. Take the step. Come join these. Come on. Come on. Father, in the name of your Son, with the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill this place continually with your Spirit. Touch all of us. Help us to be willing to obey you and to say, I will follow him. I'll go with him. Through this entire week, whatever you say to us, I will go with you. In Jesus' strong name, I pray, Brother Allen, if you would, please. Just obey the Holy Spirit. Come on.